Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, in the Red Sox-Yankee series in London, you know how in Milwaukee they have the pierogies race? In Washington, they have the president's race. Well, guess who's racing in the London series?
Fish and chips. No?
Wrong. Winston Churchill, Freddie Mercury, Henry VIII, and the Loch Ness Monster.
Worth the price of admission, sure.
Sure. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
1-0. And a swing of the ball hit toward left, base hit. Here comes Bell. Here comes Milky around third. Here's the relay throw. It's offline. Jacob Stallings has tied the game. And the Pirates come back again in the 11th. Down three. Wow, wow, wow. You can't write this. This is unbelievable. Three runs down in the ninth, they come back to tie it. Three runs down in the 11th, they've come back to tie it. And now they have the winning run at first. You cannot make this up.
Former Spike Jacob Stallings delivering that pinch hit two-run double. And eventually the Pirates did win 11-10 on a bases-loaded walk to Kevin Newman. How about that? Had a couple calls just before the top of the hour. And, we'll, you know, as soon as they call back, we'll get them on the air. A couple quick notes. I want to get, I can't get into specifics. But obviously there's a lot of hand-wringing about decommitments for football. And James Franklin, and he and I talked about this on Friday. Because we talked for about an hour on Friday. And when he talks to recruits and they say, I want to commit, he says, hey, look, hey, put the brakes on. Slow down a second here. Are you absolutely sure that this is it? Are you absolutely sure you don't want to take any other visits? That's what it comes down to. If you want to take more visits, and you're not 100%, you're 98% sure, but not 100, take the visits. But if you're 100% sure that that's it, then go ahead. Commit. And these guys all said 100% they're committing. All right? Then they reopen their recruitment. Hey, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, okay. But as you know, I have an old saying, and to me it's always worked for me. It may not work for you as the fan, but it certainly works for me. I don't worry about who they don't have. I worry about only what they do have. That's all I care about. I'll give you a few examples, but we'll do that after this call. First of all, Chris in Shamokin Dam. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Good, Steve. Yourself?
Doing really well. It's great to hear from you.
I just had a couple of thoughts as far as why the Red Sox are in London. Doesn't Mr. Sure. John Henry own one of the soccer teams?
He owns Liverpool.
Yeah. So I guess that's his way of paying back the fans for his American citizenship, owning one of England's top soccer teams.
It probably is. I mean, Major League Baseball has put this together. I remember the Mariners and the Mariners played who? The A's to start the season in Japan. Yeah, and they saluted Ichiro. One year, the Dodgers opened the season in Australia, but that's in March. This is mid-June now. Yeah, we're in mid-June. And, you know, you're taking two games. Look, so in other words, you're a Red Sox season ticket holder, and you get to pay to see the Marlins three-game series, but two of the Yankee games that, like, actually mean something to you as a fan, they shipped overseas?
Yep.
Really? I mean,
totally agree.
You pay enough money for these tickets. Now, you've got to do, Chris, and I know you agree with this. You've got to do more for the fan that shows up at your place. Okay? You can't keep taking stuff away from them. And you can't keep treating them like they're an afterthought. And this is, it's big picture, it's marketing. Stop treating your current fans like afterthoughts.
Yep. Well, why don't any teams besides the Phillies and the Pirates play up in Williamsport for the Little League Classic game?
Yeah, I think that probably has to do with regionalism, but you're right, because each one sacrifices a home game to do it.
Yep.
And this is when Penn State played in the Super Sunday basketball game, the first one at Madison Square Garden against Michigan. Penn State sacrificed the home game to play, and of course, Michigan, it was just another road game to them. So I did say to somebody from the Big Ten, I said, what year does Michigan give up its game where Penn State uses a road game to play? And that's the answer I got. It sounded like the suit when he was trying to give an answer about digital sales.
Sounds like PennDOT when I talked to them about the Central Susquehanna Thruway.
Yes, same answer. Same answer.
I had a thought on, it's going to be silly season pretty soon for managers that are on the hot seat. Who's going to get released first, the Mets or the Phillies?
Based on media arguments, I would say the Mets are in the lead right now.
Yep.
So I think they're winning there.
The Phillies invested an awful lot of money on this year's team.
Yeah, and they lost seven in a row, and they're 1-9 their last 10. So now you can't sit there and say
they had a bad August and September last year.
They did. You're absolutely right. And you wonder if that does figure into it.
Their sabermetrics doesn't work out all the time for all the teams.
I agree with you. Chris, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a great tool, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
The perfect manager for the Phillies, and if he'd be a 1,000-to-1 shot for them to get him, would be, just for the rest of this year, would be Jim Leland.
Well, now there's somebody who has a feel for the game.
Yep.
Chris, an absolute pleasure. Great to have you with us. Do you have one more?
I have one more question.
Absolutely.
When high school players make commitments, like a certain player did from Southern, are you then allowed to talk about him?
I cannot.
Or not until he signs?
He has to actually sign for me to talk about. Because even if they, quote, have verbaled someplace else, they're still considered a recruitable player by everybody, as you've seen by decommitments. So I'm not allowed to talk about any.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
Okay, I appreciate that very much, Chris. Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Next up is Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How have you been?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, I wanted to tell you guys are commiserating about the woeful Phillies. You know what? I go through this every day, the whole season. problem with the Orioles, they're trying to win. They're trying to play Major League Baseball with minor league baseball players. They're just not Major League caliber baseball players. I'm sorry. So consequently, they don't win. A 10-game losing streak for them is just normal. A 5-7 game. They can't play non-inning baseball games because they don't have enough pitching to get through the. They just don't have it. So that's my point. So I cannot feel sorry for anybody that worries about their team losing some games.
They're minus 180 in run differential right now.
Minus 180. I'm going to tell you a little story. Last year I had a bet with a guy, a Pirate fan, a big Pirate fan. He grew up in Pittsburgh, that the Orioles would lose more games than the Pirates for lunch, and I won that. Now, he said, what are we going to bet on this year? My bet this year is the Orioles will not win 50 games. And that's pretty sad when you have to make a bet like that. And probably going to win.
Right now you are on track to win. I mean, that's the amazing thing. Right now you're on track to win that. And it's really sad because they act as if there's nothing more discouraging to a fan base, to me, when you feel like the team that you are trying to root for isn't trying.
They don't try at all. I mean, I actually have watched games on the computer, and it's almost woeful at times how badly. In fact, you know, the last week where the guy for the up at Wilkes-Barre threw the ball into the stands when there was only two outs?
Yes.
He's probably destined to be an Oriole.
And a star for them.
And they would look good there. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I saw a catcher miss a ball that any little Legion kid would catch, and it cost them a run and against the Yankees, and the Yankees came back and won when the Orioles had. That's the way they play. They're just inept is the best way I can tell you.
And well, and then there's the other part, too. What was it in the San Diego game? Guy had a pop-up in the infield. Tatis caught it. Tatis tagged up and scored on an infield pop. I mean, we see stuff in these games today that even on winning teams are mystifying.
Well, it's done one thing for me. I get excited at a golf tournament now on TV. I get more excited when I can watch tennis on my computer. And that's pretty sad when I've literally given up on it. I haven't given up on them. I watch them only because I'm thinking, well, maybe something will happen. Miracles. There's been miracles happening in the history of time, but I'm not sure there's one that could save them. And their manager will not be fired. There's no reason to fire him. I mean,
no, he's been there for 1 year, and he got handed this group.
Yeah,
he said, "Hey, do something with it."
Last week when WNEP, they had the Norfolk Tides played up there, and they had two local baseball players on the Tides. Now, the one guy had his Orioles shirt on, and the other guy didn't. So, basically, I think the one pitcher was 27. I'm thinking, I feel bad for the kid, but what's his future if he's not better than the guys that they're using now at 27?
I know.
So.
It's amazing, and you know what's amazing is how quickly the Orioles have fallen into this. I mean, this used to be the franchise that other people wanted to model their franchise after. It also used to be the franchise that when they came into your park, you feared.
Well, I think what happened, everybody wanted to build a Camden Yards for their baseball team, and they all got a baseball field comparable. They all built these new baseball fields. Yeah. And then the difference, they went out and got better baseball players than Baltimore had.
A lot better.
And sadly, that's it. So I'm not going to call you about the Orioles anymore this year. But I heard you guys complaining, kind of like commiserating about the Phillies losing streak. And I'm thinking, what? What? I just went through that last week.
Hey, live my life.
Yeah.
You're saying live my life, Steve.
Well, I listen to it. I listen to you guys. And the Phillies will bounce back quicker than the Orioles will because there's no bounce to come from. They don't bounce. That's the problem there. All right. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
The Oriole trampoline is concrete. All right. Oh, goodness. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Well, great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. That is a big problem that Dick was talking about. Is absolutely right. Fans get, I think, so discouraged when the team that they are trying to root for doesn't try. Doesn't try. I mean, do you think the Orioles are trying? I mean, really? I'm not even sure the Pirates are. I mean, I'm talking about as an organization. I don't mean on the field. I mean the players in the field, you know, like they're trying. The manager's trying. You know, believe me, the GM is actually trying. The marketing people, the president of the club, they're all trying. But is the owner trying? You know, that's going to be a problem. I mean, Marlins fans, they're not going to games, 9,000 plus a game, because they don't feel like they're trying, even though they claim they are. I don't know. I mean, that to me is the biggest. Now, the London thing that Chris brought up. I'm always sick of hearing about, you know, when they play these games overseas about, oh, it's the big picture and marketing and the whole deal. You know what? One of the keys to having a franchise is not shipping them all over the place to play other games. The count. You want to play a preseason game over there? You want to play a spring training game over there? Okay, go ahead. Play a spring training game over there. Play a preseason game over there. Regular season games should be played for your fans who pay the freight. They pay the freight. The fan that goes to the ballpark, the fan that goes to the arena, the fan that goes to the stadium, you've got TV rights, you have radio rights, I understand all that. But the fan that shows up and creates the ambiance, that creates the excitement, that creates the atmosphere, is your slice of gold. They're the ones that wake up and consciously make the decision as a consumer where they have all of these options. You know, let's just take Baltimore. Maybe I'll go to Inner Harbor. Maybe I'll go to the aquarium. Maybe I'll take a trip to D.C. Or maybe I'll go to an Orioles game. Yeah, I select the Orioles game. So I just now have made the decision. Now I got to buy the gas. Okay. Bought the gas, drove in. All right. So now I got to fight the traffic. I now have to get my parking. Yep, got to pay the parking. Okay, here we go. Pay the parking. I got to walk from the parking lot in. Oh, God, great ballpark. Hey, let's get something to eat. All right? And I bought my tickets, so I bought the tickets. Now I'm in. Now I want to get something to eat. So Dan and I went to the Red Sox game. And now, admittedly, the tickets we got were free because a friend of Jack's has season tickets, and he always is offering me a chance to go, and I had not taken advantage of it in 7 years. So I finally said, hey, look, I really want to go. Hey, you got it. Because he said, I can't go to every game. So we did get that. But I got in the car, and I drove 6.5 hours. Right? My son and I then went in there, parked the car at the Prudential Center, $18. Walked the mile from the Prudential Center to Fenway. Now we get into Fenway, boom, get the ticket, bang, we're in. Hey, we want to get something to eat. So we got a couple of dogs, a couple of beers, and the two of us sat down and watched the game. Then we went back and got something else a little bit later just to snack on. Then I had to drive back. Now, the person that's sitting at home watching the game on Nesson pulled into the driveway, turned the TV set on, and the game was there. Now, they did have to pay for the game because it's in your cable bill every month. But in the end, who made the greatest effort? It's the fan that goes to the game. And you just can't keep taking stuff away from fans and act like they're disposable. Fans are not disposable. Hey, we want to open up the London market. Open up the London market to what? To sell more New Era merchandise? What? I don't get it.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Monday show is always brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. How do you serve the valley for decades? Repeat customers, building your customer base, and above all, because you have a not good, but great reputation. Just like Sunbury Motors has when it comes to vehicles, Purdy Insurance has it when it comes to insurance. Auto, home, life, business. Whatever your insurance needs may be, they'll take care of it. They'll also work very hard to find you the best price. And then customer service from that day on, updating your policies, keeping you informed, and if there's ever a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them. They are then your partner in this all the way through. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, Chris and Shimokin, are Major League Baseball teams trying? Some are. Steve, hi, Chris.
Steve Jones. Well, here's the thing. My whole take on the whole thing is that I think teams like Baltimore right now, Kansas City, Cincinnati, they really can't try. They don't have anything going for them on any level. Baseball refuses to do the things that other leagues have done to incentivize teams to sign their players or to players.
Well, they do the luxury tax, and this is why George Steinbrenner, the late George Steinbrenner, was so angry about the luxury tax. The luxury tax is designed to fine the team, you know, because they went over a certain number. In this case, now it's $205 million. And then goes into the pool, and the other teams at the bottom of the ladder get the money. the late George Steinbrenner's problem was is that the teams that would get the money would keep it. They wouldn't sign anybody. And that's, I mean, it's never worked out because those teams don't use it. Now, here's the other part. Okay, BAMTech. Okay, Chris, you've got to take some time and Google BAMTech. Google BAMTech and baseball. 1 year ago, about 14 months ago, in the sale of BAMTech, each Major League Baseball team, Chris, received $50 million. The Orioles got $50 million. The Reds got $50 million. The Pirates got $50 million. The Yankees got $50 million. The Red Sox got $50 million. That gave each one of these franchises the money that you're talking about to maybe go out and get a guy or two. And they didn't do it. Hey, who name me the big free agent signing the Pirates have had. Melky Cabrera? Really? Melky Cabrera.
Okay, we got now Chris back on the line. Here we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chris, the luxury tax, which the late George Steinbrenner was so angry about, is that they would pay the luxury tax and the money was supposed to go to the, quote, lesser teams, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, whatever, so they could then use it to sign players. And guess what? What made Steinbrenner mad is that the teams kept the money and they didn't sign players. Well, and then there's BAMTech. Google BAMTech baseball, okay? That way you know what I'm saying is accurate. 14 months ago, each major league team in the sale of BAMTech, each major league team got $50 million. What have the Reds, the Orioles, and the Royals done with their $50 million apiece?
Okay, I understand that. And there is an element of greed to this, which is totally legitimate. But why can't baseball do what every other league has done is the point. Like, it's the reason why, I mean, I understand that, like, the answer to the NFL's, you know, everybody being even is that, well, how come the Patriots continue to play and they continue to play in Super Bowls every year? Because they're good, and it's proven because the system is not rigged in their favor. Just like, but like in baseball, no matter what, you can automatically almost lop off the Reds, now the Orioles. But like every once in a while, and the reason why baseball hasn't gone to a salary cap or to a you know, a cap like the NBA is because every once in a while you'll see a Tampa Bay Rays percolate up and they'll get lucky with their draft picks and with their managing and all that, or the Kansas City Royals winning World Series and getting to the World Series 2 or 3 years in a row, and then all of a sudden baseball goes, look, the system works as is. But it's not true. It's simply not true. Now, the teams that hurt the argument are teams like the New York Mets or the Chicago White Sox, who play in huge markets, who make stupid amount of money, and are just cheap, and will not spend money on the players. And so it's a toss-up. But if baseball would just go to a salary cap like every other league has done, then you don't even have that question anymore. Then you can say the ownership of the Mets is just bad just because they're bad, not because they're not spending money.
Well, okay, let's start with this. For the most part, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros, and the Astros and the Red Sox are the last two world champions, okay?
Right.
Okay? Let's look at the two rosters. Okay? Altuve, drafted. Correa, drafted. Bregman,
they get to keep them.
Drafted.
But they get to keep them.
Yeah, but these guys are, all those guys are still on first contracts. Okay? They're all on first contracts.
That's the element of luck.
It's not the element of luck. Okay? The Red Sox drafted Mookie Betts. They drafted Andrew Benintendi. They drafted Jackie Bradley Jr. Oh, that's their outfield. They drafted Rafael Devers. They drafted Xander Bogaerts. They drafted, now he hasn't been playing for 2 years, Dustin Pedroia. They drafted Christian Vasquez. The bottom line is, you know what those teams are doing? The really, really good teams?
Okay? They're out-drafting the Pirates. They're out-drafting the Phillies. They're out-drafting the Orioles. They're out-drafting the Royals. Okay? Their player development is better, and that is internal. That's internal. That's not luck. Okay? When your starting outfield is homegrown through your system, that's not money. Now, the ability down the road for the Red Sox to keep Betts, who's still on his first contract, to keep Benintendi, who's still in his first contract, or Devers, or whatever, now that's when the money comes into play. They can then take prospects, and they can deal them for a Chris Sale and pay him a lot of money. They can say, I'm missing a part. Okay, the Astros were missing a part. So they took some prospects, and they dealt them to Detroit for Justin Verlander. Right? The Red Sox were able to then sign J.D. Martinez as a free agent. So in the end, yes, they have higher payrolls, but the bottom line is they've done a better job of drafting and player development than the bottom teams, like exponentially better. Because guess what? The Royals, the Pirates, and the teams you cited all could have drafted each one of those guys because the Yankees, Red Sox were drafting behind them. Aaron Judge was the 27th overall pick in the draft. The other 26 teams in front could have picked them, including the Phillies, including the Pirates, and the Royals, and they all passed.
Right, absolutely. And I totally agree with you that, like, you know, like, for example, like, I'm a Mets fan, so I can look at the Mets and the Yankees, and I'm always comparing my team to the Yankees, always, and how they do everything, literally everything, better than the Mets do. However, you cannot deny that the money plays a huge, huge role. Like, the Kansas City Royals team was completely taken apart, and they drafted better than anybody. And on top of that,
because they don't give second contracts. They don't give a second. See, that's the difference. They don't give second contracts.
Because they can't. That's the point.
Absolutely, they can. They absolutely can.
Well, they just don't. And that's the point I'm making. If they do a salary cap, that removes the whole richer paying for the poorer, you know, stagger. Because the Yankees now all of a sudden have no desire to go over the salary, the luxury tax for that very reason. So the Yankees are
all right. Say the salary cap is $205 million. I mean, it has to be higher than other sports, except for football, because you have so many roster spots. So
and
say it's 200
floor as well.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. But see, that's the other part: salary floor. Okay. Why is it that $205 million and the Pirates happen to be $140 million below that number? Why?
Right, it's wrong. That's their
decision. Their decision is to spend $65 million, right?
I agree.
Others decide to spend $120, $150, but if the salary cap is, say, $205, which is essentially what the luxury tax is now, right? They're not even close to that. Look, Aaron Judge, you know what Aaron Judge makes this year? He's not playing at the moment.
Well, he's not making much. I know he's not.
His salary is $684,000. I mean,
right.
Go through.
Absolutely.
Okay, Greg Bird, $1.2 million. Okay, Clint Frazier, $563,000. Estrada, $555,000. Herman, $577,000. Chad Green, $598,000. Let's see who else is on this list. Judge, $684,000. Jonathan Holder, $580,000. Let's pick Gary Sanchez, $669,000. Gleyber Torres, $605,000. Luke Voit, who played here in State College, $573,000. These are all major contributors for them. They're all making at the lower end of the scale. I those are some of the guys that are playing on other teams. They just have done a better job of selection. Now, Voit, picked up in a trade from St. Louis.
But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, if you look at the Red Sox championship last year, absolutely right. They homegrew a lot of their players. But it was free agents and people from other places that money bought that put them over the top. The Red Sox didn't win a championship with just that core. It was J.D. Martinez, who had an MVP-type season. Chris Sale, who had a Cy Young-type season.
But they traded for Chris Sale.
Okay, Chris Sale's not a free agent.
That, now they can afford to keep him. And I know some are having a great year this year, but they can afford to keep him. The point is like the Kansas City Royals had a team like that. They could have been a potential dynasty or at least a potential perennial contender on a yearly basis, and yet that team was broken up quicker than they formed. Like, they showed up, they were here for 2 or 3 years, and then before you knew it, piece here, piece there. And oh, by the way, the year that the Royals won the World Series, it was because they signed a free agent. They traded for a big cog that they can afford for only a short amount of time, which was Johnny Cueto at the time.
So, and everybody in Major League Baseball has that option, Chris. Because every team a year ago, all 30 of them, received $50 million from BAMTech in the sale. All of them. So
right,
all of them had the options.
The Yankees have. The Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers. Nobody can compete with them money wise. If the Yankees want to go out and get a player, they will get a player if money's the option. If money's
but the bottom line is these teams are only being very selective when they do this. Very selective, right? This is not the 70s, 80s, and 90s where you can use a generalization that they're buying players. That's not the way it is anymore. Even these teams have become very selective as to who they sign as a free agent. The Red Sox have two very important ones. J.D. Martinez, very important. And the other free agent signee, very important to them, was David Price. Okay? The other ones, they either grew, trade, or like they picked up a Sandy Leon, for example. You look at what these guys are making. Let's see. Andrew Benintendi, $717,000. Jackie Bradley now is a little bit older, $8.5 million. Marco Hernandez, who's their starting second baseman right now, $564,000. Hey, you keep going through all these numbers on and on. Hey, Christian Vasquez, $2.8 million. Sammy Travis, $558,000. You know, those are, quote, in baseball, the baseball world, overwhelming numbers. The starting pitcher the other day was Brian Johnson. He makes $575,000.
I mean, I agree. Again, I think it's an interesting concept because I agree with you, but I also disagree with you. I think both sides are correct. I think there's two sides to this, and that's why I think at the end of the day, Major League Baseball needs to have a salary cap like every other sport. I think that's why the Browns are all of a sudden irrelevant, because now it's one thing to like go in, all right, well, I'm going to spend $205 million this year, and to find out that this team spent more than you. Now, it's, of course, it's all about your organization and who's better at spending money. You know, the Jets have always spent money. They're just terrible at it. Like, it's just what it is. They just suck at spending money. And that's why the Patriots beat their brains in every year, because that's what happens. But at least you know, it's almost like the difference between NASCAR and Formula One. You know, like NASCAR, every car is the same. So it's all about how good the driver is, how good the team is, how good the pit crew is. In Formula One, you can buy yourself a championship in Formula One. You just have to have a better engine. If you have a better engine, you're going to win eventually if you have a good driver, a decent driver at least. Right, that's the difference. In baseball, it's kind of the same way. It's a very regional sport. Cincinnati's never going to make as much money as the Yankees, ever.
I would agree with that if it wasn't for the BAMTech thing. Okay?
That's 50 million. That's a one-time thing, Steve.
So what? That happened once. Any business would want $50 million. You can sign $6-8 million a year players for $50 million.
Okay, you just said Jackie Bradley Jr. makes $8 million a year. Does he make or break a team? Do you think?
if you sign six of them, yes.
If I had six,
I can sign $6-8 million players for $48 million, and haven't had to sell a ticket. A TV contract, a radio contract, a hot dog, a parking place. I don't have to, okay, because I've got $50 million. And all of them sat there, especially the bottom teams, and looked around and said, "No, we'll just bank it." So I mean, the Pirates' payroll is $65 million. That's $15 million above the BAMTech payment. $50 million fell out of the sky, and nobody used it.
Right?
And if you're going to sit there as an organization, right, and not invest in your business, that is your business.
You should be
the really good businesses invest in their business. Now here's the advantage the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers have. Even though nobody's watching the Dodgers games because they can't clear cable systems. But their television contracts are exponentially higher. That's the difference.
Huge.
That's the difference between them and other teams. That's why I think, let's go twofold. Your idea of a salary cap, I agree with. Your idea of a salary floor, I agree with. So we're in complete agreement there. But I've always been of the mindset that you are not out there playing scrimmages. That each team in Major League Baseball, right, their local radio and TV contract, 25% should go into a pool and be split. The other 75% gets to be kept by the club. Because you're not playing
inter
squad
right?
scrimmages. They take the national money and they divide it up.
Right.
I mean, baseball takes the national money and they divide it up. Their contract with ESPN, with Fox, right? That money is divided evenly among the teams.
That is
done. It's the local money. Yes, NESN, you know, the regional networks. Again, you're not playing inter-squad scrimmages, so 25% of the money, you know, because, look, let's face it, people are tuning into Yes to watch the Yankees. They're not tuning in to watch the Royals, but they have to play the Royals to have a game. So I think 25% right. should go into the pool and then divide it up as another way of trying to even the playing field.
I also think that a league such as Major League Baseball should work as a unit. It seems the NFL works as a unit and NBA works as a unit. So, like, when something goes down and you have a team like the Pirates who are only spending $65 million or worse off, me being a Mets fan, again, I don't understand how we, as a Mets team, function as a small market team, and we have the same kind of TV contract as the Yankees do. It doesn't make sense.
Because you're mismanaged. The bottom line
is
you're mismanaged.
Disgusting.
Okay, that's the problem. The problem is Theo Epstein has success going to Boston. He then goes to the Cubs. He has success. Hey, because he knows how, you know, and the Cubs are another team. Look, we need a free agent. We get John Lester. Okay? To go with drafting Javi Baez, they picked up Rizzo. They drafted Contreras. They drafted Schwarber. You know, you keep going through all the guys. Now, I think the shortstop, Russell, who's been out, but they got him in a trade with Oakland. But they've just been smarter about this. They're better at player evaluation.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Appreciate it.
I think we got a lot done here. Let's send it off.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll send them the tape. Thanks, Chris.
Take care, man.
Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.